You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Welcome back to Private Parts Unknown, a podcast about love and sexuality around the world. I'm Courtney Kosak, and our guest today has an incredible story.
Hi, my name is Dr. Frida. I'm a media specialist. I'm the mother of twins at the age of 60.
Dr. Frida is now in her 70s and still a vibrant mother of teenagers and very active in her career. She's a media specialist who uses her psychology background to contribute commentary on high-profile stories. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard case that has been in the media. I'm sure you've seen it. How could you miss it? And we're going to get into that further in a future episode because the TikTok and Twitter hot takes were truly wild. And I really want to unpack the misogyny and internalized misogyny behind all of that. But today, Dr. Frida is going to give us a primer on toxic relationships, how to avoid them, and how to rewire abusive patterns that might be lurking around from your upbringing. But first, we're going to talk about her outlier experience of having twins at age 60. Oh my God.
I am so excited to talk to you. I was excited to talk to you about what we'll get into as our second topic. But then I found out that you had twins at 60, and I was like, whoa, I need the whole story.
Yes, what's wrong with this woman? But go ahead. For sure.
Well, I mean, so I guess, were they your first? Were you in a relationship? Had you put it off for career?
None of the
How
above.
How did it happen? None of the above.
Right, none of the above. You know, people think I married a younger man or who knows what, but the truth is, and the real story is that my husband, who nobody asks about, is the one who wanted it. So
oh, really?
I had nothing to do with it, but I did have a son at the age of 53, and he was so happy about it. He wanted siblings for my son, and we could just keep going on forever, but we stopped, of course. And I'll tell you, it's a gift. It's a gift. And what's interesting for your generation is for you to know that life is long enough today that you can go ahead and do these things. As we're living longer, younger, here I am at this point in my life. I'm in the media. I'm doing everything. I'm enjoying everything I wanted to always do. I'm finally doing it. So it's like I'm starting at when I'm supposed to be doing something else, I guess ending, I don't know. But I'm still the same person, the same energy, no problems, everything is good. But the biggest message, and you saw one of them, they're just wonderful kids.
Yeah.
Is that women shouldn't fear getting older because they live their lives. Oh, I'm 30. Oh, I'm 40. Oh, I'm 50. But so what? I found that when I turned 60, life didn't only begin for the twins, they began for me. Because basically, there's something energizing about having done everything, gone through everything, and now you can focus on your own self, your own needs. I find that when you're older, it's really easier. So I had two sets. And when I had my older children, it was very confusing for women, children or career, relationship or career. So I have five children altogether.
Okay, so how young are the oldest?
So this gets crazier as we talk. So after we're finished, you're going to go tell him, you won't believe this lady I just spoke to. Oh my God, what's wrong? So what happens is, so I wanted a career. I wanted to be in the media, and I had absolutely opportunities. But at that time, I wanted to please people around me. The media is not something to obtain to. So at that time, women who were career oriented did not have children. So when I had the kids then and I was going to school, you know, how can you leave your kids alone? And was I a bad mother? But what about my life? And I noticed in my practice, after I did open a practice, that women in their mid-30s came to me And they felt really lost. And they said, is this it? Is this all? Where do I go? I have my kids. What about me? So, you know, you learn from your patients. And I saw that I need to have something that won't leave me empty. Because the kids, and I'm sure you're too young to have children, but eventually.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm too old. I'm like 38.
Oh, wow. You're ancient.
I know,
it's,
right?
But, you know, it's interesting because today, 38, women are having kids in their 40s now. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's not unusual. And women have waited because they didn't want to be bogged down. And when you're older, you don't settle. If you met somebody or you meet somebody, they're ready in a place, you're ready in your place. You absolutely have more time and more money. When I had my first son, I was so nervous. They put him on my in my arms and they said, you can go home now. And I said, you mean you trust me to take this home with me?
How old are you then?
I didn't realize it was mine, whatever. So the first child I had, I was 26.
Okay. And that was like pretty standard. Right.
At that time, matter of fact, it was already, I was putting my husband through law school and people were saying, well, what are you waiting for? Uh-huh. I got married when I was 22 and 4 years later, I waited for him to finish, not to interfere with his career. So basically that was a choice that women make. And as far as I'm concerned, I never felt there was anybody out there. If they were out there, then they either had the career or the kids. So people used to call me greedy, selfish, but they still do the same thing now. So I've always had that stigma, but I'm so happy that I got it in because the worst thing in life is I could have, I should have. You know, you got it in. You did what you wanted. Uh-huh. I wasn't going to tell anybody my age. And then I got off the elevator and the head obstetrician said, if you tell your age, you can help women around the world to inspire them to have a life after 60, to know it's not over, not to have necessarily babies, but careers.
Was your gynecologist, were there concerns? Did you do IVF? Like how?
I did IVF. I did in vitro. It was very smooth. There wasn't any kind of, you know, problem. And my pregnancy was very uneventful. I was elated. I was overjoyed. I had no negative feelings afterwards at all. And these children are so independent and they're so contented and things come so easy for them. It's a different generation now with the social media, the connecting to the around the world for them, where my older generation, they didn't have that kind of connection. And parents do worry. I do have to say their kids are too much into the computers. But guess what? If you see them for dinner time or whatever, they'll have information that my older kids never had. You know, how do you know that? So they're really learning up there. They're not just slouching and gaming all the time. And games also teach you to be competitive, think quickly. I wish it wasn't so violent, and that's the negative part. But having children older, later, is no longer what it used to be. And it's a good thing because you are not feeling that you're missing out. You did your thing already.
Do you feel like that makes you a better parent?
It makes you a better parent because I wrote a whole dissertation on that. So I really feel that if you're prone to have a career, then that is the way to go first. And then you can enjoy the process of being with your children and have the time. So I'm really blessed. I thought I'd be too old. My husband said, don't tell anybody, but everybody found out. And who cares?
I mean, is it energizing for you? I'm looking at you and it's hard to believe you're 60, let alone old enough to have a 15-year-old.
Well, I can't believe it. Life goes fast. You have to get it in. I'm telling you. It's long enough to get everything you want, but you have to take advantage of the time that you really have. Like my husband used to say, oh, you can't tell the difference between a 30 and a 6-year-old. And I said, sure. Are you kidding me? But you know what? I'm not a different person than I was before. Uh-huh. I still am ambitious. I'm still energetic. I still do all the things. Who you really are doesn't really change all that much. It really doesn't. Uh-huh. So, you know, just enjoy the process, but definitely don't live in fear of what's to come, because there's really nothing negative to come anymore. Women are independent. They can make money if they want to. They could have relationships when they want to. So it's a healthier time to have these kind of options.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, privates. Pew, pew, privates with penises. I'm talking to you. Our sponsor, Fleshlight, can help you reach new heights with your self-pleasure. And that is because Fleshlight is the number one selling male sex toy in the world. And they don't just leave you hanging over there. At Fleshlight, you can explore sex toys with expert guides and advice, especially if you're a beginner or you're looking to level up. If you have been listening to this show for a while, you know how I feel about self-pleasure, and it is very, very good. And I definitely endorse using sex toys. I have a lot of fun with sex toys myself. So with the Fleshlight Girls series, you can embrace your wildest porn star fantasies with a different porn actress every night. What? With the variety of models, sensations, and intensities, you can live out limitless fantasies. And you can automate your fantasies with the universal launch that fits most Fleshlight products. With its innovative touch control system, just set the controls, sit back, and enjoy. And you have pleasure right in your hands. Your pleasure is in your complete control. And as the ultimate male pleasure device on the market, it's as versatile as you are. Anatomical, stamina building, vibrating, or made for couples, you name it. You define your luxury moment. And I just want to say, if you have any shame around sex toys, please don't. It is so much better than being weird with girls because you feel kind of desperate or whatever. Fleshlight just allows you to chill out, wait for the right girl when she comes, and in the meantime, you know you are going to be getting yours and having a good time, so you don't even have to sweat it. And right now, Fleshlight is offering Private Parts Unknown listeners 10% off your order with our code PRIVATE10. So you just go to ppupod.com. That's the website, ppupod.com. You click Fleshlight and you use the promo code PRIVATE10 to get 10% off your delicious new device. Again, that is ppupod.com and enter code PRIVATE10. And it really helps support the show. It helps support yourself and your own sex drive. So go ahead and use the link in the episode description. We can all be horny together. We can keep this podcast going. So get yourself a Fleshlight and get yourself off. I was going to ask you about, because there's a whole child-free movement now. We interviewed somebody who is a kind of a leader among that group. And I'm just curious, and especially I'm asking this as a 38-year-old woman.
You look like you're 28, please. Oh my God.
But, you know, you seem like a total career woman, and also you've had 5 kids, and that seems like it's been important to you as well. And what is your take on motherhood, having been there, if you're not passionate about it? Would you pass?
Oh, if you're not passionate about it, you know, I think we should grab life. And guess what happens? When you have a child, you forget whether you're passionate or not. That was in the past. When you have a child, it's a lot of work. But that burst of being into what you're doing is like nothing else. Nothing else. It's an experience. And I'm the person you're asking that I want everyone to have all these experiences. So it's a wonderful experience. You can do it in such a way. I went to school when my children went to school. I was accepted to Columbia University. I went and I dropped out because my children needed me. So I did go back and forth. Mm-hmm. It wasn't always so smooth. But it is something. If you're on the fence about it, then do it. Because it seems very overwhelming. When I had my first child again, because that's when I was the most anxious, That's why first children are always so uptight, because the parents are uptight. But and serious, always. But it's intuitive. You get a feeling. There used to be a book, a Dr. Spotnitz out, who said, let the child cry. I couldn't do it. Now I'm finding it's not the thing to do. So it's you do have to go by what you feel is right. And you can look into a child's face. You can see the way a child is reacting. But it's a lot of fun. It's experience. It's reliving your childhood in many ways mm-hmm. that you wouldn't have otherwise. Meeting people that you wouldn't have otherwise met. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot. It's a whole social networking, bonding arena with your husband. Besides the parents being crazy about paying off these colleges, they're going off the wall here.
Okay. So, well, I'm leaning towards no, but I could see a universe in which I did it later, kind of like you did your second go around.
What's wrong with that? That's wonderful because you know you're prepared.
Yeah.
You won't have any regrets.
I mean, I'm very career driven. I haven't crossed nearly enough things off my list. I know at this point I couldn't juggle both, but I could, you know, maybe if the world is not on fire, I could have a child later on.
I promise you the world will not be on fire. So no excuses. And the fact is, a child is born, they sleep most of the time. So you grow with them. You grow to learn what it is they need. And then they start crawling. And and then after a while, they go to school. And so they're in school till 3 or 4. They don't take all your time. You have all this time to have your career, to do whatever it is that you want to do. Dinner time, they come home. If you or your spouse or your partner or whatever is there, then you share responsibilities. It's a different world today. Men are more nurturing. Mm-hmm, they love true. It. Women are more responsible with careers, and they love it. So each is filling out another part of themselves. So because of that, it's not like the housewives of the 50s where the women stayed home, did everything, double standards. No way. We're mm-hmm. way past all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So without a doubt, you've done the right thing. You've established an image, a persona of who you are. And now, when you've done that, you can have a partner in your life that's nurturing, and you take turns supporting each other's needs, career, children, whatever.
So this is still a decision in progress for me, and honestly, I'm leaning more toward no, but I really liked hearing Dr. Frieda's perspective.
Okay, so the other thing I want to talk to you about is, you know, the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial has been in the media like crazy.
Yes.
And I think we saw a lot of misogyny and internalized misogyny come out. Anyway, the whole thing was ugly. And I want to do a whole nother episode about that. So I kind of want to focus on toxic relationships. But before we get into that, you're a media expert. Did you have any takeaways from seeing that play out in public?
It was obvious from the beginning. It's so simple. Look at their backgrounds. He came from an abusive mother whose father didn't speak up and finally left. She came from relationships where she was the abuser. And there you go. We do relive our parents, whether we like it or not, at an unconscious level. We'll often pick our parents as a mate in our lives because it's a familiar situation. Even if it's dysfunctional, it's comfortable for us. So right from the beginning, this was set up not to work. So that's what toxic is. Being involved with people that are familiar but are not good for you. Another toxic example is when you are with somebody who's jealous of you, who controls you, who micromanages you, and you say, oh, he's really into me. He really cares about me. Wow. No, this guy or a woman, both roles, feels inferior and wants to put you down a few notches so they can feel better about themselves. So you have to be very careful about what a healthy relationship is. A healthy relationship is when each person takes turns supporting each other, but also find out about their background. You know, don't get intimate right away because that mars everything. You don't know what you're doing. You're in love. The first 3 years is the romantic stage. Everything's wonderful. Then all of a sudden, they leave each other. It's over. People don't stay long. And then a push of the button on the internet, they can get somebody else, which is not good. It's way too easy.
So, okay, you know, we're talking about toxic relationships. And in their case, I mean, it was abusive. So is there a difference between toxic and abusive? And you mentioned a few, but what are the other red flags you should look for?
Well, we're talking about emotionally abusive, physically abusive. There's abuse when you don't feel that you lost who you are in this relationship. That's abuse. It could be very subtle. You don't feel the thrust for life all of a sudden. There's a reason for it. And if you can connect that and see what just happened, you could either prevent it if the other partner has to be willing to work on it. If they're not, your self-esteem will be enhanced if you work on yourself, but the two of you won't end up together. So that's abusive. It could be very subtle. Somebody who is not respecting you. Somebody at night who leaves the lights on when you want them off, or the air conditioning colder or warmer, or whatever that is. It sounds like it's not a big deal, but you're not being taken care of. And after a while, you don't even realize it's happening anymore. You just don't feel great anymore. That's abuse.
Mm-hmm. I was in a relationship in college where he was living with me. I was paying for everything. I asked him not to smoke in this room, and he did. And for complaining, he sprayed me with Febreze. That's when I knew it had to be over.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the relationship played out more after, but I wound up getting a civil ex parte. And he had pushed me before, and, you know, there was some physical stuff too. But even though it seems like nothing, spraying someone with Febreze is like not the end of the world. It didn't hurt me, you know, in some extreme way. But to me, it was like such a boundary cross of like a punishment in the relationship that was like huge. I was like,
it's interesting. You had to wait to be basically hit over the head almost in order to leave. And that was not subtle at all. Febreze, you know, it could blind you. Things could happen to you. So yeah, he fit the pattern of what I'm talking about, wanting to keep you in a certain place. And yet you were the one that was helping him and making an income or you had money or whatever it was. So you have to look for subtleties.
So another aspect of that relationship that I think is relevant here and we could use as an example is that it took me, you know, you just called it out. I should have left before. And actually I had been in the process of leaving him, you know, like I followed him to college. I realized that was a terrible idea. I went down to another college in another state. He followed me, but that was like part of these stages of me leaving, but it was a long drawn out process. And I think when you're in a toxic relationship or an abusive relationship, it can be like that. So how do you said wait to get involved. That's like how you can avoid it, but how do you leave or extricate yourself once you're already in one of these relationships?
That's very difficult. You know, you waited way too long, and he had a good thing going. No wonder he followed you. You know, you're beautiful.
He was like, who's paying the bills? Okay.
No wonder he followed you. But how do you leave a toxic relationship? Well, first of all, you have to have a plan, because if you don't, you're never going to leave. I had a patient who said, how can I leave? I don't have any furniture. I said, are you kidding me? That's why you're staying? So it was something stupid like that. But you have to have a plan, which is short-term plan. You go ahead, find somebody to stay with for a little while, or find your own place to stay. You don't have to be permanently invested in where you're going, because your mind is not clear right now. You're going through trauma. But once that trauma subsides, then you can give yourself time for a longer term plan. Where are you going to stay? What about your career? Look into what kind of relationship that's not toxic.
So slowly, not overnight, when you have that kind of plan, you'll follow that plan and you'll be in a much better place.
You brought up people's upbringing, but you can't change that about yourself. So how can you rewire, I guess, and, you know, go from someone who was in a bad childhood situation to having healthy relationships as an adult?
Well, that's a very important question. And first, you have to be healthy, emotionally healthy, to find the right person. Because if you're not, if you don't have the right path for yourself, if you don't have the right self-esteem, if you think you don't deserve better, well, you're not going to get better. So you have to be able to put yourself in the right place first. The opposite of what women are told, who you meet, that's who you'll be. Absolutely not. So you have to have your own independent image first. And then the question was how to avoid being in a toxic relationship. Find out who the friends are. Find out what the friends say about this person. The family. Is the family functioning? Does he like his parents? Or she like her parents? All that stuff is going to give you information about who you're with, which is much more important, I hate to say this, than the attraction itself. Because if you have all these ingredients first, you know what happens? The attraction follows, and that stays much longer than the other way around, because you have substance in the relationship. Having true friendships is really a prerequisite. My boys, now that turned 15, they have friends, girls, boys, and they're socializing. And how they're comfortable treating, they're going to go out and feel comfortable with that pattern. So you have to develop a group of people in your life that give you the feeling of being important, support what it is that you want. Relationships you can't always support at the same time, or you take turns. But that kind of healthy prerequisite with platonic relationships is extremely important before you get involved with someone, before you have a partner in your life. We were talking about this in the beginning. If you find your own self first and you're in a good place, you find somebody who supports that, not takes it away from you, because you develop a pattern and that pattern pretty much stays. So don't try to change. Don't try to promote that person. You're not a social worker. Don't try to make that person happy if they're not happy. Any of those things. And I've always felt that we should have, and I always thought about a show for this, emotional prenup. Not about money. It seems so crass. It's like, oh, we're going into this, but be careful just in case we get a divorce. If I thought this way, I would have been divorced a long time ago. Because you can't think of that. My take on marriage is you got to stay, you got to work on it, because if you don't, you get somebody else's problems. Which, by the way, there's more higher divorce the second time around than the first time. Because you see, wait a bit, maybe I could have worked that out.
You have made it work with your husband, right? For decades. So what's the secret to having a healthy relationship that lasts?
I think patience. When you want to kill the other person or say, why am I with him? I'm leaving. Guess what? Put everything down. Don't throw anything and wait it out, because eventually something happens. They say, hey, wait a minute. Maybe I am better off with that person. And maybe I'm going to regret it. I had a patient whose husband wrote out a plan. If you want to leave me, this is what's going to happen. Well, the thought of actually physically leave, she threatened him all the time. It's a, wait a minute. You mean you're going to be with somebody else?
Uh-huh.
And you're going to have a good life with somebody else and replace me? I'm supposed to be the most important person. So that right away changed things. So leaving somebody in your mind is okay. But what happens eventually when you go through trials in life, it's not easy. The person that's closest to you is the one that really gets the negativity that you go through from the day-to-day events.
So you heard it from Dr. Frieda Privitz. Patience is the key to a long, happy relationship. And it is so true. Our partners can get the worst of us sometimes because we tend to unload at home. And hearing her say that is a really good reminder that bearing the brunt of that negative energy over and over and over again is so not fair to them. I love the idea of an emotional prenup. Thanks again to Dr. Frida for such a fascinating conversation. Ugh, she is such a character, and it was so fun to chat with her. And I think she offered up a really interesting perspective on both toxic relationships and motherhood. Truly out-of-the-box motherhood. Like I said, I want to explore the misogyny and internalized misogyny of the Dep-Heard trial more. And actually, if you're an expert on the subject or you have really strong opinions on the TikTok hate or the Twitter vilification of Amber Heard, I would love to hear from you. So if that's you, please shoot me an email at privatepartsunknown.com, or even if you just want to share an article with me, would love to hear from you. And of course, make sure to follow the show at Private Parts Unknown on Instagram and at Private Parts Un on Twitter. I am at Courtney Kosak, K-O-C-A-K, on both Twitter and Instagram. And make sure you're subscribed to our newsletter. It's just privatepartsunknown.substack.com. But to make it super easy, the link is in the episode description. So just head down there and sign up. Shout out to Amy Rausch for the bomb-ass theme music. For more info about Amy and her music, check out amyrausch.com. That's Amy, R-A-A-S-C-H.com. This episode was mixed by Mike Castaneda of Plastic Audio. And after enjoying this content and learning a lot from Dr. Frida, if I could just ask you for a really quick favor, if you could go to ratethispodcast.com/private and just give us a 5-star rating and review. I know it seems little, but it helps other people find the show. So again, that's ratethispodcast.com/private. Or if you're listening on Spotify, it's super easy. You can just go to the upper right-hand corner of our page. So the Private Parts Unknown page, go to the upper left-hand corner, click the star button, and then you just click all 5 stars. See, wasn't that easy? Thank you so much. And until next time, I am wishing you lots of horniness and happiness and non-toxic relationships.